We're very happy to have Brother Carlton Chandler from Portland, Oregon, welcome us to this 2005 General Convention. And he has titled his welcoming thoughts to us, "To God Be the Glory." Brother Chandler.
Good morning, dear brethren. You know, it's odd to be standing here before you again at another Johnstown convention. This is special today because this is the fifth convention here. Well, not here, exactly, but it is the fifth convention of the new third millennium. We're still here. We've come here to receive a blessing. We've come here really as the theme hymn tells us, "To God be the glory," to give God the glory. We welcome you to the fifth General Convention of this new millennium. Think of it. 5 years have passed already since the turn of this third millennium. And as we look back, I was considering the things that were going on 6 years ago in 1999, when the world was in fear that as the turn of the new century and as the turn of the new millennium came upon us, that Armageddon would occur. I don't think that the Bible students in general had any thought of this. Perhaps they did. Perhaps we all wondered just how long it would be before God would end this night of sin and toil and bring on the glorious kingdom of which we pray for. 10 years ago, back in 1995, as this new millennium was drawing near, there was a continuous rumbling sound of voices. And their words were spoken in muted voices. What is happening to this world of ours? At that particular time, and even today, 10 years later, global warming was a big issue. Scientists were continuing to contemplate what this global warming and its effects upon the earth might bring about. The ice caps melting, would they overflow? Would they make a change in the earth? This was one of the signs, perhaps, of Matthew 24, of what was coming upon this world. Would this be the end of the world? Of course, the answer was no. Although global warming is a danger, and global warming has caused much concern among the scientists of today, the scriptures tell us, of course, that the earth abideth forever, Ecclesiastes 1:3. And that also, one thing that we are very pleased about is that the scriptures tell us the earth will yield its increase. Psalm 67, verses 4 to 6. Back just 5 years ago, all of the churches on TV, 24 hours a day, these fundamentalist preachers were relentlessly exhorting the millions of viewers around the earth that this was the biblical end times. And we can agree with them that the things that are happening today have been forecast thousands of years ago that were coming upon this earth. Yet, 2000 came, 2000 passed. Armageddon didn't take place. And we're 5 years into the new millennium already. And we're privileged to be here today as God's people. Today in 2005, we find mankind still wondering and worrying about this global warming, as we have said. Since 2000, America has been involved in two Middle East wars. The ongoing in Afghanistan and Iraq has killed over 1,700 American soldiers, injured many, many thousands. Another great sign of the time that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 12:1. Another sign of the end of this age. We find among the world's economy that it is on the brink of collapsing. Interestingly, the national debt in the United States has continued to grow at an average of $2.13 billion a day since September the 30th, 2004. You know, for all of us, we used to think of counting in millions. That was a very high figure. But now we speak in billions and trillions. The United States national debt is a staggering $7,792,087,440,497.34, and still growing. The estimated population of the United States today is 295 million. That's correct, 867,749. Each of us, each citizen of the United States, shares in the debt at a rate of $26,336 each. As of April 12, 2005, that was each person's share of this national debt. Gasoline prices high. They've been increasing by anywhere between 13 and 15 cents a week. And this figure has caused everything that we buy and need to survive, from food, clothing, and other goods. The government says that the unemployment rate is going down, yet tens of thousands are being laid off in all sectors of the economy to save money, jobs being sent overseas and so forth. But how does this affect you and me? How does this affect the Lord's people? All this only helps the Lord's people to understand the prophet Daniel and our Lord Jesus' words of what would be happening at this end of the age. Daniel spoke of it as this way: at this time, Michael, we believe that he's speaking here of our Lord Jesus, would stand up, and there would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And certainly we can echo that statement. Daniel 12:1. And then back in Luke 21, verses 10 and 11, and verses 21 and 22, nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There would be great earthquakes in diverse places. This is literally happening everywhere in our earth today. Famines. We hear and read daily about this G8 conference that went on in England. At the time that it was going on, the terrorists attacked the English, similarly as they did the United States. But why was this conference going on? It was to help out those in Africa who were starving to death, to double what was being given to them. Yes, there would be great earthquakes in diverse places. There would be famines. There would be pestilences. One of the greatest pestilences that America has today is the meth problem. It's killing and taking the lives of so many people. AIDS, drugs, all kinds of things going on here but they're biblically for our understanding that we are here at this end of the age. We have encouraging words, not these words that fill fear in man's hearts, but encouraging words of Luke 21:28, that when you and I see these things coming to pass, look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Yes, we're living in the third millennium, and that's very important. The biblical third day. We remember that there was a marriage that took place on the third day in Cana, John 2:1. This, we believe, tells us that sometime within this antitypical third day, the marriage of the Lamb will take place, and the kingdom for which we all pray will come about. And even now, when we look around us, we see the time fastly approaching that if the Lord did not take a hand in this great time of trouble, if he didn't stop it, no flesh would survive. But thank God that time would be cut short, we read, on the account of the elect, Matthew 24:22. What is our responsibility? Well, many times on many platforms of conventions, we have that theme of Matthew 6:33, preach ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Yes, what lies ahead for us and our responsibility to what lies ahead? How long we pray? How long, O Lord? Here we are, starting the fifth convention of this third millennium, year 2005. Christ has returned as the chief reaper in this harvest of this present age. This present gospel age, we know this from Revelation 14:14-16. There we read, and I beheld and looked, and there was a white cloud, and upon that cloud sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of this temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. The Lord is present, taking home his people. He promised this: if I go away, I will come again and take you, that where I am, you may be also. Yes, Jesus has been installed in power and great glory as this golden crown on his head indicates. But his work at the end of this gospel age is the taking home of this last members of his body. This reaping of the last members of the body of Christ has been going on for some time, ever since Jesus said, as we have just quoted from John 14:3, if I go away, I will come again and take you, that where I am, you may be also. Until this reaping is complete, we still have work to do, brethren. Preach ye first, yes, preach ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. We remember that Jesus said about this kingdom, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. John 14, I think. And you know, we have a unique opportunity this week. We have come together. We are gathered together as a family. As a family, it is our duty to come closer to one another in fellowship. We read, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, we could call this really a family reunion. Do you like reunions? Some are good, some aren't, I guess, but this is a special time, these family reunions. Webster tells us it means the act of uniting again at regular intervals after a separation. And we have, most of us have been separated for a year at least since the last convention in California. And this word family is so significant, for its meaning is persons closely related by blood. What about ourselves? We read, now in Christ Jesus we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. We, who were aliens and sinners, have now become the sons of God, heirs with Christ through his great redemptive sacrifice. We are family. And we have a bond of blood that keeps us united together. Romans 8, verses 15 to 17 says, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified together. This word fellowship in the Greek is a unique word in itself. We'll not pronounce it correctly, koinonia, meaning common union. And this, we're talking about ourselves here now, common union. God is faithful by whom we are called unto the fellowship, common union of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, 1 Corinthians 1:9. What a positive statement this is. We as family have become partners with Christ. It was to the church at Philippi where Paul and Timothy thanked the brethren. And you know, this is a prayer that we all should pray every day. Every day. We thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer, Paul says, for you, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Philippians 1, 3-6. Now this is our prayer. As I said, we should be praying this every day. This is our prayer as we start this general convention. The convention committee has prepared a feast of fat things for us for this week, for us all here to dine on for these next 6 days. The elders have worked hard to present a program to bring to our attention God's Word, that which through His Word should build us up as a family. This reunion should bring us closer to one another, and in our desires to bring glory, glory to God, our loving Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we said, we're going to be receiving meat in due season. That is food set before us at the proper time. What we will take away from this reunion will depend on our attitude. A minister, Charles Woodson, wrote on attitude, the important and decisive factor is not what happens to us, but the attitude we take towards what happens. The surest revelation of one's character is the way we bear up to our circumstances. Circumstances and situations may color our life, but by the grace of God, we have been given the power to choose what that color may be. Unquote. Our prayer is that during the next 6 days, our attitude will be a positive attitude, and that we will make a success out of this reunion. We have a theme text. Beautiful. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Brother Gorecki will be telling us about this. What a tremendous thought that our great loving Heavenly Father has chosen us. There will be many talks on three Greek words, parousia, epiphania, and apokalypsis. And forgive me if I don't say those correctly. A special discourse on proving all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. A symposium entitled Our Salvation, Our Part, and God's Part. A discussion on the Last Supper. Was it a Passover meal or not? And then a very important discourse on love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. All these, plus 5 testimony meetings and many other discourses from God's table of good things. And then, of course, we'll have 6 days of fellowship. One with another, as a family. Will we make a success of this family reunion? You know, the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. It has been said that excellence is the result of caring more than others think is wise. I'll go back through this again. Excellence is the result of caring more than others think is wise, risking more than others think is safe, dreaming more than others think is practical, and expecting more than others think is possible. We find that the soul is dyed the color of its thoughts. We are to think only on those things that are in line with God's principles and those that can bear the full light of day. Do you know that the content of your character is your choice? Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is who you become. Your integrity is your destiny. It is the light that guides your day. Integrity is one or takes one of several paths. It distinguishes itself from others because it's the right path and the only one upon which you never will get lost. This week, we are all going to have the opportunity to develop character. Our guidebook, the Bible says, think on these things. Things that are true and honest and just, pure and lovely and of good report, as we read in Philippians 4:8. Someone has written, the sea is dangerous, and its storms are terrible. But these obstacles have never been sufficient to remain ashore. Unlike the mediocre, intrepid spirits will seek victory over those things which seem impossible. It is with an iron will that they embark on the most daring of endeavors. To meet the shadowy future without fear and to conquer the unknown. Unquote. To make a success of this family reunion, we have to put, all of us here this morning, have to put our ideas in motion. Only those who see the invisible, we know this, can do the impossible. It takes only a single idea, a single action to move the world. We remember the words, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Matthew 17, verse 20. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with success. The spirit, the will to win, and the will to excel, it is these things that endure. Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. We find that the road to success is always under construction. Unless you try to do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow. We must remember, never, never quit. Always remember that success is a journey, not a destination. Teamwork. Teamwork is the ability to work together towards a common vision. And we have a common vision, brethren. The ability to direct individual accomplishment towards organizational objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon tasks. Seize each day of this reunion. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Do you want to be a leader? Theodore Roosevelt wrote once, "Real leaders are ordinary people with extraordinary determination." The credit belongs to those who are actually in the arena. Now, these are Theodore Roosevelt's words. Who know the great enthusiasm, the great devotions to a worthy cause, who at best know the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst fail while daring greatly, so that their place will never be with cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Unquote. A true leader has the confidence to stand alone, the courage to make tough decisions, and the compassion to listen to the needs of others. He does not set out to be a leader, but becomes one by the quality of his actions and the integrity of his intent. we find that in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. You know, brethren, some people make things happen. Some people watch things happen, while others wonder what is happening. We should be asking ourselves, where are we on this ladder? Every job is a self-portrait of the person who did it. So autograph yours this week with excellence. Attitude is everything. Quality only happens when you care enough to do your best. Will we make mistakes this week? Probably. There is no virtue in making mistakes, but there is a virtue in acknowledging them and seeking divine grace to help in overcoming our weaknesses. As family members, we will have many opportunities to develop patience this week. Luke writes, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Luke 21:19. The Apostle James wrote on patience, "Let patience have her perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The manna comments of February 12th tell us, not a step of progress can be gained without the exercise of this grace of patience. And not one of the graces more beautifully adorns the Christian character or wins the approval of the world's conscience or glorifies the God of all grace whose truth inspires it. This week, we will have a chance to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, our loving, kind, all-wise Heavenly Father, and our beloved elder brother, Jesus Christ. Let your light then so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. We must be fruit bearers and not just fruit pickers. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:8. Therefore, whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God. To God be the glory, as we read this or sang this morning. And I loved it. As I sat there and looked at the words, I listened to your singing. It was beautiful. Yes, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. If we look closely, we will have opportunities to help one another this week. Now perhaps I should say that again to emphasize it. If we look closely, we will have opportunities to help one another this week. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that no one can sincerely try to help another without helping himself." Unquote. Giving to others without hope of return not only enriches each other, but gives to the giver a satisfaction and a joy unmatched. Giving is a disposition created by the Spirit. It is an unselfish motivation created out of love for God and the gospel. Dear brethren, let this week be a week of blessings. Let our fellowship be sweet and a means to grow into the likeness of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 reads, "Speak the truth in love, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The Apostle Peter says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever." 2 Peter 3:18. So we have an opportunity, brethren, this week. We have a good opportunity in our reunion, one with another, and in our fellowship. May the God of all grace bless this week and bless each and every one of you. Amen.